Boker Tov. Today's daf is Kuf, daf Kufing Sivis, 100. Just a little bit more, less than 2 weeks in the until we make see him. All right, we got to the top of Kuf, but let's learn the Mishnah again, the bottom of Tzadik Kesem Beis, just to, so we'll get our bearings here. Shumadayan Shepesu Shtus O Sifu Shtus. If judges made an assessment and they made a mistake in the assessment, they're selling off some property. Because let's say in a usual case it would be, let's say, an orphan or a widow, and they need to sell off the property to pay off either to pay off a widow or to pay off a creditor that's coming, some other creditor that's coming after the orphan, and they made a mistake by up to a sixth. If it's up to a sixth, we know the rule of anah is that the deal is a deal, you just return the difference. But here we said, so it's saying if they made a mistake by a sixth, either up or down, the whole deal is off. And the Mefarshim explained that even though the Bezdin here is here to protect the Yesomim, right, so they made a mistake, and let's say they're supposed to get $100, and they sell some property for $75, so it's much more than a sixth, the deal's off. Right, but it's the other way too. If they went down a six or up a six, because even though they have responsibility to the Orshim, they have responsibility to the general public as well. They can't cheat the public either. The judges, the Bezdin, has a responsibility to all the Jewish people. So here we get the idea that the Bezdin is no different than anybody else. If I'm selling you a car and the manufacturer suggested retail price is $20,000 and I sell to you for $30,000, the deal's off. Or if I sell to you for $10,000, I was fooled. Also, the deal's off. No difference, says Rabbi Shimon Leo. No, Machan Kaim, the deal's a deal. MK Machkoch Bezin Yafa. What's the advantage of Bezin? Bezin's got to have some power. It's not just a regular person. Avalimasu Igeres because. But if they made an inspection, as let's say, put it out for public display, as we said, many times in the paper, you'll see there's going to be an auction. The stuff can be on display. You can come and check it. So then you're getting more of a market price, and it's considered acceptable. Then even they sold something that you think is worth 100 for 200, or the reverse, or shove masayim b'mana, or 200 for 100, that's the market. So even though you think it's worth that, that's what you pay for. It doesn't mean anything. Now machan kaim, the deal's a deal. So we have this machlokas between the rabbanan and Rav Shimon Galil in a regular case, but even Rav Shimon Galil's moda that if they made a public inspection, there was time to examine it, then whatever the price they fetched is the valid market price. Now the Gemara asks this question. Shliach, come on. Here we get to the top of Kuf. What is a shliach? So we talked about, we had before that if an almana sells property of the Yisomim in order to get her mazon, she gets to get food, or she gets to get her ksuba, whatever the reason is, if she sells, she makes a mistake, and she sells even a little bit more property, let's say she has to get $200, and she sells a piece of property that's worth $201 for the $200, she cheated the Yisomim. They lost a dollar. It's all, it deals off. What about, on the other hand, the Bezdin can make a mistake up to a sixth. That's what the Tanakhama said. Yiboy luhu, up to a sixth, right? Even Shem Galil says even more than a sixth. Shem Galil says otherwise, what's the kind of Bezdin? The Gemara will talk about later on. Well, how much can the mistake make? Let's say the according to Shem Galil, they took a piece of property worth $1 million and they sold it for $10. But Rav Shimon Galil will say also, well, the koch of Bezdin's there. That far they don't go. We'll see how they go. But here we're talking about, in our Mishnah, we see that the Bezdin has a lacha like a regular din of onah. That if they made a mistake of a sixth or more, really more than a sixth, because up to a sixth it's considered mochel. Up to a sixth is considered mechila. Exactly a sixth, you return the difference. More than a sixth, the deal's off. Here we're talking about where it's more than a sixth. So it's more than a sixth, just like anybody else makes a mistake. Whereas an almana who sold a property, even if she makes a mistake of a dollar, the deal's off. So what about a shliach? What about not an almana who's selling for her own account, right? She's selling it so she can get the money for her mazonos or ksuba. Or Bezdin, who's certainly doing it as an objective outsider. They're entitled up to six. What about a regular shliach? A boy, the shliach, come on. I send the shliach to sell something to me. What halach does he have? Rav Amar, Rav Nachman, shliach gedayonim. Just like the judges. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna, Amar, Rav Nachman, he says the name of Rachman, Kalman is lach, Rav. So he's a machlokis. What Rav Nachman said. Rav says in Rav Nachman that he's like Dayanin. He's entitled to make a mistake up to a sixth. And Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna says in Rav Nachman, no, he's like a money, can't make any mistake at all. Rav Rav Nachman, Shliach Kedonim, Ma Dayanin, love the two. Just like Dayanin aren't selling for their own account, they're doing it for somebody else. So they're entitled. They're not like, you know, if they made a mistake by a little bit, they weren't cheating for themselves. So they're entitled to go up to a six. Same thing as Shliach. He's not doing it for himself. Ashlich Nami, Lav Didi Day. La Pukemot is excluding her Amana, Dil Dida. She's selling for her own account, right? She's selling for keep the money herself. So therefore, we don't let her make a mistake at all because that looks like cheating. Rav Shmuel, there is no Ramnachman Kamana, Ma Amana Yechida. Just like Amana is an individual person, Av Shliach Yachid. Shliach is also a Yachid, La Pukem Bezin, the Rabnu. Difference is by Bezin, that's a group of people. So remember, we've had before that you don't suspect a group of people of cheating. An individual can make a mistake and cheat easily, it's a lot easier. The Ilchus of the Loch is Shliach Kamon, is like an Amana because he's an individual. And therefore, remember we had before that if an individual mumcha, rabbi, comes, a woman made a neder that she can't have any nof from her husband, let's say. We'll talk about Nedarim in a few weeks, right? She asked any nof from her husband, so she can't stay married to her husband. So she goes to the rabbi to be matur neder, right? Goes to the rabbi, matur, and he's, let's say, a mumcha, he can do it by himself. And he doesn't want to be matur. He says, no, I can't find any excuse for you. So she says, well, then you'll have to get divorced. Yeah, you'll have to get divorced. By the way, I handle divorces here. And after the divorce, would you like to marry me? That doesn't look too good, right? However, if he does it as part of a bezdin, there's three people there, then it doesn't look so bad. Like he couldn't get, right? He doesn't look like he was just doing it for his own reason. But when he didn't want to be matur neder because he had his eyes on her, that doesn't look too good. So here also the idea, when you do it as a bezdin, it doesn't look like cheating. They did it as a bezdin, but as an individual, next to them is a shliach and amana. So we're saying a shliach is like an amana, and you can't cheat at all. How is this different? This is what we learned. Home of the shlucho, you tell a shliach, here's the case of a shliach. We're saying now a shliach is a halacha like a woman, and like an amana, meaning that you can't cheat at all. You tell your shliach, save a tarum, take truma for me. Go out to the fields, take truma for me. Tarum kadas b'bayis. He should do it like according to b'bayis. Remember we said truma is not an exact amount. Meiser is 10%. Truma is any amount, mena Torah. However, they said that the average person gives a 50th, the generous person gives a 40th, a stingy person gives a 60th. So he should also do like he thinks the Bala Bayis would do. He didn't say, just go take truma for me. He didn't say how much. In any of that, if he doesn't know what the Bala Bayis is like, he doesn't know what his disposition is. Tarum Rabbanis, he gives like an average, Echad Mechamishim. Pichas Asar, Osef Asar. Let's say he does Pichas Asar, a tenth down in numbers, meaning the denominator is less. It's a 40th, but it's really more money. Pichas Asar, let's say he gave a 40th, Osef Asar, or a 60th. Truma, it's still Truma. So here you see that a Shliach who changed it a little bit is not allowed any leeway at all. We just said that a shliach is like an almana. Makes a mistake of even a dollar, the whole deal is off. And here you say, if he went in a mistake, he went up or down or upper or lower, then it's valid. The answer is awesome. Keep Vika the Tarim Ban Yafa. Since some people are stingy, Vika the Tarim Ban Yafa, some people are generous, Ban Yafa. On Malay, the shliach could say, L'hachim Manaticha. That's how I figure you to be a generous person, or I figure to be a stingy person. That's why it wasn't like I was cheating or I made a mistake. However, here it simply goes, what is this person, what would this person normally give? What would the Bala Bayis give? Would he give a 50th, a 40th, a 60th? I figured you to be a generous person. It wasn't a mistake on my part. But over here, you sold a piece of property worth $201 for $200. That's a mistake. You weren't supposed to make a mistake, and therefore the owner, the Yorshim, whoever it was, can tell the Almana as well as the Shliach, you shouldn't have made a mistake. In our Mishnah, where we said, is Bezna allowed to make a mistake of up to a six, or they cannot make any mistake at all? So Rav Nachman says, Allah is like the Chachamim. More of a less later of Nachman, Makoch Bezin Yafa. Doesn't Rav Nachman hold of the Svar of Shmuel says, what do you mean? You're going to make Bezdin, if they make a mistake of six, they're going to make the whole deal is off? Isn't Bezdin allowed some leeway? What's the whole point of having a Bezdin? You have an objective group, an objective body who can make a proper judgment. And if you're going to negate what they said, then what's the power of the Bezdin? And now you're saying that the Rav Nachman says, Loch like a Chum, doesn't Rav Nachman hold a Makrach Mezyafa? Well, I'll show you a case where he does hold that. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Shmuel, we're at the first of the wide lines. Hayyusam Shabbat Lachlik Benechsev, and let's say Yisamim came to split up the Nachum. The father died. And there's, let's say, five brothers. How do they divide it up? There's all kinds of fields and et cetera. What does Bezin do? So today you have what's called an executor of the estate, right? You have an executor of the estate supposed to handle things, objective. But fun?
Shammai.
A Shammai, you have a Shammai, estimates by that. But how do you split it up? In other words, you have five brothers. How is one person supposed to decide which of the five brothers are supposed to get which land? So what they did is, Bezin mamidal ma'apitropos. Bezin sets up an apitropos, a guardian for each of the kids. You have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, five sons. Let's say nobody's a Bechor, or doesn't make any difference. One's a Bechor, he gets a double share. But you set up a individual guardian for each of the sons. And each of those sons, each of those guardians will have an interest in protecting this particular son. So Bez Mamidal Mapatribus, Ubarum Chelik Yafa, and each guardian says, okay, I'll take this one. Obviously, it's not a question of the money. Let's say all the fields are worth, you know, $1 million together. So each one gets $200,000, but this one wants this field, this one wants that field, etc. So they each choose a good share for themselves. The guardians act on each on behalf of each Yisom. Higdilu, let's say the Yisom, though, came of age. They were bar mitzvah. Now they could deal on their own. Yichon Limchos, they can object. They could say, well, that was an idiot. You picked that guy as a guardian. He didn't know what he was doing. I would prefer this one. That's what Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel. Rav Nachman Didei, Rav Nachman himself says, Amr Higdilu Inchos, they can't object. What's the whole point of the Bezin? Bezin set up a deal over here. They set up guardians, objective guardians on behalf of each one. Are you going to tell me that as soon as the goyim become bar mitzvah, they can object and throw out the whole deal? Then what was the whole point of it? The whole point was they wanted to settle the estate. So what do you see? Rav Nachman here holds up Makoch Bezin Yafa. So how could you say in our Mishnah, Rav Nachman goes like a chacham who don't hold up Makoch Bezin Yafa? This is Lokasha, Hadato, Hadaloto. It's a difference. The difference is that they make a mistake or not make a mistake. In our Mishnah, he doesn't say Makoch Bezin Yafa. He goes like the Chum. You know why? Because they made a mistake. The Bezin clearly made a mistake. If they made a mistake, the deal is off. But over here, they didn't make a mistake. So the Gemara says, in the case of the Yorshim and the guardians, if they didn't make a mistake, what can they object to? If the guardians did not make any mistake, each one got a good share for Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, so what are they objecting to when they became bar mitzvah? Baruchos. They said, they didn't object. Nobody says, I didn't get my share of $200,000. I didn't get the proper estate. But he says, you know what, I would have preferred this piece of land because I got another piece of land coming from my mother's side, you know, that I have another piece of land adjacent to it, so I prefer to this one. So there was not a mistake over there. And therefore, you could say that's why the Yichol Limchos, and still Reb Nachman says, you can't be Mocha because that's Reb Bezin Yafa. So, but here he's saying there's no mistake. If there's no mistake, what are they complaining about? The answer is they're complaining about the direction. In other words, I wanted this field. Sure, the fields are all worth the same amount. I did get my value of $200,000, but I would prefer the other field because it's near one of my other possessions or whatever, my other store or whatever it was. Mama? אז הדין הוא שאתה צריך לתת לי את הזכות, זכות קדימה. אם אני מוכן לשלם כמו שהוא משלם. נכון. So that's what he would have complained. But still, Rav Nachman says, Makoch Bezin Yafa, there was no mistake made over here, so you can't go back on the deal. So he says, Makoch Bezin, well, there was no mistake. Bezin didn't make a mistake. It's just that this guy might have preferred this land. Now that he's older, he says, well, I would have preferred this piece of land. But if they made a mistake, he says, like the Chacham, you can go back on the deal. Kiyos Ravdimi. Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omer Maisa. We're going to have here a difference between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Safra, and Rabbi Dimi. What happened over there? There was a story. Because Rabbi Dimi says, "Ma'aseh ba'osa Rabbi k'divacham." Rabbi passed like a chum that you can go back on that the deal is bottled if Bezin made a mistake. Omer lefanav. So Rabbi had a rabbi there in front of him. His name was Pirta. Omer lefanav Pirta beno shel Blazer ben Pirta. Pirta the son of Blazer ben Pirta. So you see, Pirta was named after his grandfather. Ben beno shel Pirta, who was also named after his grandfather Pirta Agadol. He said to him, "Makabaz Yafa, if you're going to go back on the deal, you're saying Bezin made a mistake of a sixth or more. They can go back on the deal. So what was the advantage of having a Bezin? Any idiot can make a mistake like that, and you say the deal's off. Bezin's got to have some stronger power. So Makabaz Yafa, the Hichsi Rebbe Yisamaisa, and Rebbe reverted." He retracted his opinion, and he didn't paskin that way. He didn't go back on the deal, because he says, you're right, Makoch Bezin Yafa. That was how Rav Dimi Masnech, that's how Rav Dimi learned the story. In other words, Rav Dimi told the story about Rebbe. The Rebbe first paskined like the Chachamim, and then appeared to complain to him. He says, oh, you're right, I'll go like Shimon Gamliel, make Makoch Bezin Yafa, and you can't, even if Obez made a mistake of a six, we're not going back on the deal. That's how Rav Dimi learned the story, that Rebbe actually paskened that way, and then he retracted. Rav Safra Masneach, Rav Safra learned the story like this, that Maisa Ubikesh Rebbe Lass was given a Chum. He didn't actually paskin. He was about to paskin like a Chum. Then Pirta complained to him, came back, lo asa Rebbe as a Maisa. So he actually didn't actually do it. He was about to do it, but he didn't do it. So Lachar the Gemara says, maybe there's a machlokas between Rav Dimi and Rav Safra. If you actually paskin one way, do you retract? One says if you made a mistake in a Dvar Mishnah, in other words, our Mishnah that he went like Rav Shimon Malil, he had Rav Shimon Malil is a Dvar Mishnah, and he made a mistake in that, right? Because he says you made a mistake in there. You can go back on it. Even though, if you made a mistake in a psak against something that's befeirish, you don't say, okay, you made a mistake and you pay the difference. But rather, the whole deal's off. The whole psak is wrong. Psak is wrong. If you paskin against a befeirish Mishnah, that's wrong, and the psak doesn't mean anything. And maybe you'll say that Rav Safra holds, if you made a mistake and you're paskin that way, you can't go back on the deal. Here, Rebbe retracted. Why? Because he hadn't yet paskin. He was about to paskin. He was leaning in that direction. But when Pirt objected, he didn't paskin that way. But had he paskin that, maybe he wouldn't have gone back on the deal. Bechor, that's the difference between Rav Safra and Rav Dimi. He says, everybody holds, like we hold, that if you make a mistake in a Beferish Mishnah, the Mishnah says that this is what you do. This is clearly the Mishnah. And Rabbi made a mistake, and that's not a psak. It's just wrong. You take it back. It says everyone was talking about Mishnah Choser, Mar Sover, Hachiv Ma'aser, Mar Sover. Simply, the question over here was, what happened? In other words, everybody holds that since he made a mistake in a Dvar Mishnah, why? Because Rabbi Paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, not like Rav Nachman Paskin. He passed like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Shimon says Makor Bezin Yafa, and since he Paskin and he Paskin the other way and again went against the Feirish Mishnah Rav Shimon Gamliel, you can retract. Rav Safra would also hold that you could retract. He just didn't. He didn't have to retract because he hadn't made the psak. He was leaning that way, but he hadn't made the psak. Amar Rav Yosef. Here's a halacha we mentioned a few blot back. Armelosa Zizvina. We said in Almona, again, we've talked about in the last 5-6 blot about people selling off property of Yisomim to pay off a debt. It could be the debt of a tsuba, where the Almona herself sells it if she's under duress, right? If she's under duress, she needs the money. Or it could be Bezdin is selling off the Solomon's estate either to pay off an Amana who's a creditor or some other creditor who the father owed money to. So he says that Amana who sold property, Achrayas Yasum, the Achrayas is on the Yisomim. What does that mean? The Yisomim have property over here, right? And the Amana is selling it off to collect her ksuba. Now she sells the property off to somebody, she gets her $200 and she goes home. Right? She leaves. She goes home. She gets a mezonos. Now what happens? Another creditor who had a prior lien comes and takes away that property. Takes away that property. Who does the purchaser go after? The almana or the estate, the yisomim? So he says, go after the estate. The almana was, it's not hers. She was just another creditor there who needed some money. But she's not responsible for that land or who sold it, whatever. She's selling it on behalf of the Yisomim. The Yisomim aren't here to sell. She's like, I'll sell it. I need the money right now. But if that land had a prior lien on it, was mortgaged to somebody else, and that other guy comes along and takes it away from the person she sold it to, that person who sold it to is going to go after the Yisomim, not after the Amun. That's what he says.
Is this part of the Ketubah?
No. The Ketubah just says that she's entitled to $200. The Ketubah says that she has a lien on $200 of his property. Now she's right now
so she's basically sold. She's exercising her lien.
She's exercising her lien, right? Yeah. But now the person who bought it got a bum deal because his field is taken away. Who does he go after, Mama? No. Yesh like tuba.
Yesh
like tuba. Yesh
like
tuba. Okay. Like tuba, can I sell my nechus? Okay, betach. Im aktuba, im yichola, im yichola. Zeh machloket Reb Shimon Rabbanan. Im zerak tuba, tzachlot al deh bet din. As Rabbanan Amru, afilu ktuba yichola limkor batzma. So she sells those things. Says, but Achrayas, if the purchasers had their fields taken away, they go after the Yisomim. U Bezdin Dezoven, even if a Bezdin sells it. And let's say it wasn't, she didn't sell it herself. A Bezdin sold it. A Bezdin sold some property to pay off one creditor. It could have been the Ksuba, it could have been somebody else. And then that field was taken away by a prior creditor. Also, they're also just doing it. What are they doing? They're doing a good deed. They're trying to help the Yisomim. They said, listen, these creditors are here. We'll sell the property for you to make sure you get a good deal, right? We want to make a good deal. So they sell the property. Turns out they didn't know about it. Somebody else had a prior lien on the property, and that guy comes and takes it away from the purchaser. The purchaser also is going to go after the estate. When we say go after, it's not Bezin's fault. They go after the estate. For Pshita. So isn't that all obvious? Who else would they go after? You're right. Amana, that's obvious, because she's clearly acting on behalf of, she's an agent for the sum. You need it for the court. Mao, the same, I might think, what am I might think else? So the court's also acting on behalf of the estate. I might think, called the Zavan, the Beidina, anybody who buys through a Bezdin, when Bezin sells something, people know about it. There's an achrazah. People, we could talk about that in a few minutes. That people know about it. So the guy might say, listen, I'll be willing to buy this without any achrayas. And let's see, Bezin's selling this property to get some cash for the kids to pay off their bills. No, not al-abed-din. If Bezdin sells something, I might think that the person who buys it says, listen, I'm willing to buy it without any achrayas. If Bezin sells it, certainly everybody knows about it. Had anybody had a prior lien about it, they would have come and made a claim. Yeah. Don't worry about it. I'm willing to buy it without achrayas. Yeah. That's what I might think. Call the zavim, anybody who buys it through a court, he buys it understanding that people know about it. They call Bachrozo and Batuach Halokech, he knows. If there would have been somebody making a complaint, he would have come forward. And therefore, he's willing to buy without Christ. Kamashman, we don't say that. Even if he bought it through the court, but if it's taken away from him, he'll go after the estate again.
Doesn't the court have some responsibility to check it out?
Yeah, they do. So, but they did what they could. What could they check out? Just because the court, what is he supposed? The rabbi knows everything. The rabbi's going to know if the father made some deal 89 years ago and had some prior creditor out there. He wasn't around. Lo shamadze. See, is it correct? Hayiti omer nachon biglal she beten goetze as lo tzrichim ukona afilu b'achray k'mashmon shalom rimkei.
So what's the role of the Beis Din?
To try to be fair, to get a good share for the Yorshim, to sell it fairly, in other words, to publicize, to get the best price possible for the Yorshim. However, if the father had some prior creditor that he had lent money, that he had borrowed money from 70 years ago, and he didn't know about it, nobody knew about it here. There's no way for them to know.
But as long as they have no responsibility.
Even today, when you say, those land registries and the lawyer checks out, sure, the land registries make sure that the field wasn't sold, that, you have an azara, you put it all in there. But let's say there's a guy who had a prior lien. The guy had a loan. He comes over, I got a document. I lent your old man 70 years ago $100,000 and he owes me the money.
Right.
That's right. Who's that? Yeah. Okay, if shakranim, no, but I'm saying, but if he's telling the truth, if it's a valid document, then it's a valid claim. Shmuel Omer. Now we said Shmuel says, even if they make a mistake of more than a sixth, the Bezdin is valid because that's what Bezdin's for. Bezdin's got that power. An individual, we said, an Amana or a Shliach, fine. They make a mistake even by a dollar, it's off. But a Bezdin, even if they make a mistake by a sixth or more, is allowed leeway, and the deal's not off. So first, how far is that? If they sold $1 million property for $10, is that valid too? Ad kam amrafun bar Yehuda amrafsheshes ad palga, up to 50%. In other words, they can make a mistake of 50% and it's still considered a valid deal. More than 50%, not. They'd sold something worth $200 for $100. In other words, you look at it 50% each way. In other words, because this is like you sold it for $200. If you sold something $100 for $200, made a $200 profit for the kids, that's still kayam. In other words, if it's up to 50, up to its whole value, 50% down or 100% more is considered valid. But more than that, not valid. Omra Meimim Mishmei Rabbi Yosef. Bezin shemacher b'lo achrozah. Bezin normally supposed to sell by having a public announcement. Achrozah. They say, listen, it was being sold. As we said before, that's like before if it was a public inspection. So come and look at the property, or saying we're selling this land. So people find out about it, and you'll get the best deal, right? Also, if there's a prior lien, you'll get better market value. Amar Mishmed Rav Yosef, Bezin Shemacher B'loach Roza, Nasa Kamisha. You know, it's like the broker says to you, listen, before you put it out, as soon as you want to sell, I'll get you the best price. Doesn't mean that. He'll cheat him. You know, the best way is to publicize it, and you'll see what the market brings. So that's what Bezin. So let's say they sold without a public announcement. Nasa Kamisha Toh. It's as if they made a mistake with Bidvar Mishnah. It's like they made a mistake in Dvar Mishnah. We said if Bezin makes a mistake in Dvar Mishnah, a Beferish Halacha in the Mishnah, deals off. So it's as if the chosen and the deal can be returned. And you don't say, oh, it's a deal, it's a deal, but they paid the difference. No, the whole deal's off. Vigmar Nasu, what do you mean? It's as if they did. Vadeto, it's certainly a mistake, because Bezin's supposed to make it sell only with the public house. That's something we learned. Shumat Yisomim, if somebody is selling by making an assessment for the Yisomim, Shloshim Yomim, is he supposed to make a public announcement for 30 days? You're selling Yisomim's property? You don't just say, hey, who wants to pay me this? You know, that's not getting a fair price. You have to announce it for 30 days. Shema Hegdash, if you're selling something, Hegdash Shishim Yom, Machrizim Boker Erev, and you have to announce it in the morning and at night when people go to shul, when people go to work, come home, etc. You have to publicize it twice a day. You call it out for either 30 days or 60 days, respectively. And it says that's how you sell something, to be fair to Yisomim. So what do you mean, if Bezin sold without Achroza, it's as if they made a mistake. Well, they've already made a mistake. No, that's only a shliach. If a shliach, an individual person, is selling on behalf of Yisomim, or a gizbar, is a shliach for the hegdish, that's the rule. Avo Bezin lo, but I might think Bezin doesn't have to make such a public announcement. Kamash Malam, therefore, a Mamer says, in the name of Yosef, that if Bezin sold without a public announcement, that's the same thing as if an individual did, and it's a mistake, and the deal's off. Eser Rashi lo Mamer, what about our Mishnah? Shuma Deyon Shepechsu Shtus, Ousi Rishtus. If Bezin made a mistake in their assessment by a sixth or more, Machem Batel, that deal's off. Hashava B'Sheva, but if they sold it for the right price, it's a valid deal. Machem Kayim, right? Apparently, even without a Hachraza. You just said if they sold something without a hachrazah, the whole deal is off. Our Mishnah says the deal's only off if they made a mistake by a sixth or more. But if they didn't make a mistake and they sold for a good price, it's mashma the mechir is good even with those no hachrazah. Says lo. So the Gemara says no. Our Mishnah is also speaking about the hachrazah. It's where they made an announcement. It says what do you mean the Mishnah's made an announcement? Hamidah sefer but hachrazah have a reish with hachrazah. The end of our Mishnah said. Remember we started by learning the Mishnah that we said if you made a public announcement right for a public inspection. Then, even if they had a bigger stake, smashma at the reish, speaking more, there was no public inspection, no public announcement. Hamidah seifa b'achrus ave reish b'lachrus diktani seifa imos u'geres b'ros. If they made a letter of inspection, as they allowed people to come and inspect it, afilu machrus shav b'mana b'masayim u'shav b'masayim b'mana machrus kaim mashma that the reish speaking about where there was no achrusa. So how do you say that if Bezin sold anything without a public announcement, it's invalid, the deal's off? Our mishnah's mashma, if he sold it for a good price, the deal's on. Elolam Barachras, you're right. Our Mishnah is speaking about where there was no public announcement, but this does not contradict a Mamer. You know why? Velokasha. Kanvam Shemachrizlan, Kanvam Shemachrizlan. When Mamer said, yeah, the business to make a public announcement, that's only by items that are sold to the public announcement. A classic case of that is karka. You sell a piece of land, a regular piece of land. There's not a creditor comes along. He's got a claim here of $1 million. He got to sell some land, so they do it with Achras. That's a regular case. But our Mishnah is speaking about things that you don't call out about. What don't you call it? Avelin Vorm Shein Machris Olam Havarim Metalim Shtaros. You're not machris for slaves, for metalim, for movables, and for shtaros. Why not? Avadim Taimamai Shem Yishmu Vivchu. If they hear that they're being auctioned off, they're going to run. As bad as things are, at least they're happy where they are. You know, like they're happy where they are. But if you hear he's going to be sold, sold down the river, right? He's gonna run.
Take the money and run.
But here it's take themselves and run. Metalklin v'shtaros shem yignevu. Because what's going to happen is, you know, it's available for public inspection. So as people are looking at it, there's thousands of people walking by. Somebody lifts one of them, puts it away. Pinches it, whatever as they call it in England, right? So metalklum v'shtaros shemigim, because maybe it'll be stolen. So those things don't make. You make public announcements on property, things like that, real estate, but not on houses. but not on these kind of things. So our Mishnah is speaking about things that there was no public announcement. Now it said if it was available for inspection, you don't have to make achrosa, but then the Mishnah says if you did, so, you know, these are the rules, then even if you made a mistake, but assuming it wasn't stolen, but you don't have to make achrosa on those kind of things. That's what's speaking. I'll tell you, it depends on, there are items, even things that are sold with achrosa, we do make them, there are times when you don't make a public achrosa. What's an example? If you have to, even though normally, let's say it's real estate, and you have to make achrosa, but if you have to pay the poll tax or else the government's going to put them in jail, or you need mezonos right now, you don't have time to announce it for 30 days. She's hungry today. Or for to bury somebody, obviously they got to be buried immediately, then you could sell without achrosa. So it could be our mission speaking about there's no achrosa. It depends on the locality also. There are places where they don't make achrosa. The Amar of Nachman said, Ma'olum lo osu achrosa, because when in our Dahi's town, they never made achrosa. They never did that. You know why? They thought, because there people know the prices. You know, they're good businessmen there. I heard Rav Nachman explain the reason. Usually, why do you make achrosa and sell property for the yisomim? You do it for the yisomim, because the guy who sells his own property can do whatever he wants. He calls his broker, he puts an ad in the paper. But here you do it for the yisomim. People, they don't like to have achrosa because then people go there, and the people who buy it, usually when you buy something at auction, you usually get a good deal, right? It's not like a regular market. So people will say, oh, look at those people taking advantage of these orphans. The people who buy on auction estates that the Bezdin is selling off on behalf of the Orshim, they're considered slimy people. You know, look at those people. They're taking advantage of the poor Yorshim. Motzitzei dam, right? So that's what he says. That's the reason. So he says it depends on location. Our Mishnah could be speaking in a place where they don't normally make achraza because that's the minig there. He says that metaltling some, you don't make achraza, but he says it's better to sell them off right away. The idea here is the same, that Bezin always acts on behalf of the Yisomim for their benefit, right? Obviously, they're not as good as having a father there, an adult, but Bezin is supposed to do the best they can. So metaltum, which can go bad, metaltum could be fruits, vegetables, other items that can go bad, sell them off right away before they go bad, get the best price. You sell them at the market. So if the market day is near, so wait for the market, you'll get a better price. But if the market day is far away, if you wait for the market day, they might go bad in between, and therefore sell them right now. He's called the Yasim, even though he was Rav Mishar Shabachlo. He got smich at a very young age, or maybe later on he was Rav Mishar. This is earlier in life, whatever. But he had some. He had some beer that belonged to this Yasim. He waited for the regel. Even though there's a chance that during the time that I'm waiting till the regel, it might go bad. You know, they might start to get a little bit rancid or whatever. The taste will go bad of the beer. But Maisi Zuza Harifa, but it'll bring at the Sholosh Regalim, at the time of Yontif, it'll bring a sharp price. In other words, I'll be able to get cash for it. I won't have to sell it on credit. Because in Yontif, everybody wants a beer. You know, in Europe, it was very common. Let's say that Yontif, they would bring in a frost beer, they'd bring in a barrel of beer. It was common. That was the drink. You know, they didn't have Diet Coke in those days. So they brought in a beer. So beer in Yontif had a good fetch, a good price. So again, this is how he acted in goodwill on behalf of the Yisomim. Ravina, another story. Ravina Biare Chamed, Ravina Zute Yasma. Ravina had some wine that belonged to Ravina. Ravina, the young one, or the small Ravina, who was an orphan, Barach, say his nephew, Havel Didei Namicham. He also had some of his own wine. He was bringing his own wine to Sifra, to that place, name of a place. Also, when she asked Rav Ashi, he says, "Am I allowed to bring Amalei Mahu Lamtuye Badon?" There's some risk by taking the trip on boat to this place. There's some risk that something can happen to the wine on the boat. The boat can fall, break up, or maybe the ocean will be bad for the taste of the wine. Can I take it along with me? Amalei Zil, you could take it lo odif midach. He's no better than yours. In other words, you're worried about the thing that the ship will. You know, am I doing my job? Am I being a good guardian by taking his wine to Sifra where I'm taking my own wine? He says. His wine's no better than yours. If you're doing it for your wine, you could do it for his wine too without concern. However, that's if there was no other choice. He was taking his own wine there, so he took his wine there too. But if he knew that the wine was going to go bad, then he should have sold it first. The idea here is basically that you're supposed to act in the interests of the Yisomim, whether he's an individual or the Bezdin, they have to act in the Yisomim. And again, the Hachrozah rules are in effect. However, as we saw, not all items do you make a Hachrozah. For slaves, shtaros, and metal, you don't make a Hachrozah. In certain places, they didn't make a Hachrozah because people call those people who bought the stuff, they call them names. And also, there are no Hachrozah under certain circumstances. For example, if you have to bury somebody right away, the guy dies, he has no cash, you have to sell off some part of the estate just to pay for the funeral, then you do it right away without waiting. Back to Ksubas. We had this mission also. We had it in the Sadi Tazi. We had it in Yavamas. The following women have no Ksuba at all. Because it's not, why don't Ksuba? Mamanis is a girl who walks away from a marriage. She's not bat mitzvah yet. Remember, she didn't have a marriage to Raisa. How is that? Her mother or brother married her off after her father no longer had Rishus. Either he's dead or he'd married her off once before. So now her mother, her family marries her off. She's 8 years old, let's say. Marries her off just that she shouldn't be loose on the streets and people shouldn't take advantage of her. She's 10 years old. She says, I had enough. I can't stand this guy. She walks away. So there the marriage is considered annulled. She's no ksuba. Ksuba is only on death or divorce, right? But here she walked away from no ksuba. Hashnia is a marriage which is a marriage d'oraisa. Give the horrible example. You marry your grandmother. The Torah doesn't say you can't marry your grandmother. We had 16 cases in Yavamas that are Shnias, other relatives that are not. The Torah didn't say specifically you can't marry these people. As disgusting as it is, it's not Osir Min HaTorah, it's only Osir Min HaRabbanan. Now, the rabbi said that in a case like that, let's say he marries his grandmother, and the children aren't Mamzerim, they're not Posel Lakun or anything like that, it's just Osir Min HaRabbanan. So because of that, she's probably the one who encouraged him to marry and to go against the rabbis who said you shouldn't marry. Therefore, the rabbi said she gets no ksuba, even if he dies or divorces her, right? Hamenas or ashnia or an eyeless. Eyeless here, we're speaking about a woman who is not really, has no womanly characteristics. I don't know what they call that in English, but she's an eyeless, meaning she has no breasts, she has no female characteristics at all. She can't reproduce.
Hermaphrodite. Hermaphrodite?
Maybe. I'm not sure if that's what it is.
Hermaphrodite has both, right.
That's an androgynous, you mean?
Yeah.
Androgynous has both. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. In the case of women, yeah. There was a case in the paper yesterday with some kid born like that. Yeah, yeah. So the islandess. So here's talking about an islandess where he didn't know. He didn't know. For example, he married her at a young age. She was 10 years old. She's a sweet little girl. And she never developed properly. So in that case, it's a mekachtos. Mekachtos also deals off. So in these cases, in the first case of menes, it's like the marriage is annulled anyway. There's no widow or divorce here. In the islandess, it's a mekachtos that deals off also. So therefore, she's not entitled to ksuba for lo peiros. Rashi says, interesting, peiros can mean one of two things. It means that if the husband ate peiros, and then she walks away from the wedding, she might say, pay me for the peiros. He doesn't have to pay her. The perfection Rashi is, though, in return for him eating her peiros while they're married, he's responsible to redeem her if she's taken into captivity. So here he means that he's not responsible in these cases. Because in all these cases, the Mamena, she walked away from it, so there's no marriage, right? No marriage. Islandess, it's a mekertos. He's not married to her. Shnia, the rabbi said, what are you doing in that marriage? So therefore, there's no obligation to redeem her. Velo mazonos. Certainly, she's not entitled to mazonos. If he dies or divorces her, in the case of the shnia or the islandess, it's a mekertos, there's not mazonos. Velo blos, she's not entitled to the worn-out garments that she brought into the marriage, that normally a woman who's divorced or widowed is entitled to those things. However, let's say, in the case of an islandess, you see, in the case of ma'anis, she walked away from the marriage. I mean, obviously, we're speaking about, when we say ma'anis, she's not entitled, what are we speaking about? Before or after or when? What are we speaking about? While she's married to him, let's say she's 8 years old, she's married, of course he has to feed her, he's supposed to be responsible. And once she walked away, what are you talking about? There's no obligation there at all, right? So what is there? So we're talking about where he went overseas. Rashi brings down the case where he went overseas, and she was complaining, right? And she borrowed money, and she ate, and then she walked out, he doesn't have to pay. In other words, normally, let's say a woman's husband goes overseas, and she has nothing to eat. So she borrows money. When the husband comes back, he has to pay for it because he was responsible to give her the food. Let's say in this case she borrowed money to feed herself and while he was away, and then she walked away from the marriage, and she sticks him with the bill. He doesn't have to pay. That's what we're speaking about here. He doesn't have to pay mazonos and all these other things. Now, in the case of an ayilus, and the case of a shnia, we don't want to encourage the marriage, so she's not entitled to a ksuba. The rabbi says she gets a ksuba. In the case of an ayilus, mekratos. However, let's say he married her anyway. Let's say the man already had a wife to have children with, and he just did it as a mitzvah to marry this poor woman who was not going to have any children. Married her to take her off the street. He was in love with her. Whatever happened, he married her. Then she's entitled to a ksuba because he married her with the proper intention. What about almalah kohen gadol grush lechutz lekohen hegel mamzer shesilim yisrael maaser shalom sin mamzer? All these are awesome in the Torah. A kohen gadol can't marry an almana. A kohen hegel can't marry a grush or a chalutza. That's a chalutza is rabbanim, but it's based on grusha daraisa. Mamzer shesilim yisrael baisilim mamzer. They're entitled to a ksuba. Why are they entitled to a ksuba? The rabbi said you should. And the Torah said you shouldn't marry them because over here it's not the woman. We assume since over here the woman's kids are pasul. They're considered halalim, they're considered mamzerim, etc. She's not going to want to make this marriage. We assume that he's the one who's convincing her. He's seducing her into the marriage, and therefore, as a knas, we make him pay the ksuba. Rav Tani Ktana Yotze Beget Ein Laksuba. Rav learned that a Ktana who left for the get, a Ktana here we mean not a Ktana who was married to a Raisa, married Rabbanan, like her mother or brother married her off. Let's say she got a get, he can give her a get also. She's married Rabbanan, he can give her a get Rabbanan. She's not entitled to a ksuba. She's like a memenis. The koshke memenis is not entitled to a ksuba because that marriage is annulled. And it's like there's no marriage over here. Shmuel tani memenis and ksuba. A memenis, she walks away, so the marriage, that's like they weren't married at all. It's like an annulment. She was never married. She's not entitled to a ksuba. Alviyotsu beget yeshik ksuba. Even though it was a marriage to Rabbanan, if he gave her a get, he married her at 8 years old, and then he divorced her at 9 years old. And it's not even a marriage to Raisa, but he gave her a get, he has to give her a ksuba. Again, he says if Ma'anis doesn't exub, Yotze beget yeshik ksuba. Ma'anis lo pasul menachem. If she refuses, remember, if you're married to somebody and you divorce her, can she marry one of your brothers? Chas v'chalila, she can't. Eishes achash lo makam mitzvah, right? However, if she made mian on you, she could marry your brother because mian means there was no marriage. She walked away from the marriage. There was no marriage. Right? She walked away. So she's not pasul menachem. The lo pasul menakuna also doesn't ruin her from a kohen. She wasn't divorced. She can marry a kohen now, even though she's no longer a besula. A kohen can marry an almana. She's not a grusha. Yotze beget pasul menachem. But if she left for the get, even though it was drabbanan, it's like your goes or all kinds of get. If she walked away from marriage, remember, a girl who's less than 12 years old can't get pregnant and have a child anyway. So if she walked away, she doesn't have to wait 3 months to get married. Yotze beget, but if she got a get, if you gave her a get when she was 8 years old, even though you know for sure she's not pregnant, remember the rule about waiting 3 months is Mishum Avchana applies even if she's 9 years old and can't have a child, or if she's 6 years old and can't have a child. Yotze beget, Srichalam Shosh Chadashim. So we see over here that Shmuel goes according to his reasoning that if she leaves with a get, if she loses the get, it's like any other get. She's entitled to a tzuba. She has to wait 3 months like anybody else, even Zodrabbanan. The Gemara says, my kamashman, Gemara's going to say, well, we learned all this already. The answer is, the other things we learned about it, but Yotze beget, she can't marry his brothers. Yotze mian, she could marry his brothers. The Chiddush is Shlosh HaChadoshim. The waiting of the 3 months for Avchana, that, again, it's logical, but the Chiddush wasn't learned before. That if it's because, if it was with mian, she doesn't have to wait 3 months. If it was with a get, she has to wait 3 months like anybody else who left the marriage, either through get or divorce. Anybody who leaves a marriage through get, or through a divorce or death, has to wait 3 months before she marries somebody else. Even if you know she's not pregnant, there's no difference between her and anybody else. Low pug, yeah, yeah. Even if you know she's not pregnant. Let's say she's 90 years old and she wants to get married to somebody else. Right. The Rabbanan made the takana in general. That.